you're running from God, listen, God's going to catch you. And why? Because he's faster than you. And so he's going to catch you. Why does he catch you? Because he wants to love you. He wants to love you. And he loves you too much to let you go. So if you're running from God today, again, listen, you don't stand a chance. All right? Hey, you can run, but you can't hide. You can't hide from the Lord. And Jonah's going to find that out firsthand. And that's a big theme I want to speak to you today. If you're here today and you are running from God, listen, this is the wrong place to be if you're trying to run from God, all right? And you might want to run out of here, but halfway through this message, but listen, why does he do that? Why does he reach out to you? Because he loves you too much to let you go.
Good day and welcome to Live in the Light. I'm your host, Craig Turnbull, and joining me in our studio is our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons. We're thankful that you've joined us here today because today, hey, we're starting a brand new series. Robbie, where are we headed in the days ahead?
We are excited right now, Craig. We are entering into the book of Jonah. That's right, the story that is so well known among so many people and children and adults alike. But I'm excited to open up this minor prophet and to share with you God's truth, how powerful it is as we apply it to our lives. And really, the theme of Jonah, and our listeners, I want you to be encouraged and anticipating God to be working in your life specifically in this series, because the theme of Jonah is God's relentless pursuit of you. God would not let Jonah go because he loved him too much. And as you tune in right now to Live in the Light and in this program, and you're ready to hear from the Lord, you will find out God is calling you because God loves you, God wants to transform you, and God will not let you go too far until he brings you back and sees more transformation occur in your life and mine for his glory. So maybe you can commit to be listening in the next several days as we go through this amazing story that is not about a whale, trust me. It's about the goodness and the glory of God seen upon people that he loves. And of course, you and I are those people as well. So I want to encourage you too. You've been listening and you're thankful for this ministry. Just let us remind you that your support is so appreciated and frankly so needed as we seek to stay on the air and be a blessing to many, many people who are listening. So just consider that by phoning or emailing, contacting us, and we'd love to hear from you and be encouraged to hear what God is doing in your life as you seek to support this ministry as well. So bless you guys. Jonah's coming up, I guess, right now, right, Craig?
That's right. That's right. And again, loved ones, if you want to reach out and get a hold of us, we'd love to hear from you. All the information will be available for you at the end of the program. All right, let's go right away. God's word for us today, Jonah chapter 1, and here again is Pastor Robbie.
The title for the series is Jonah. How's that? How's that? Jonah, but I love the subtitle. It's this. God's relentless pursuit, listen, of you, of me, of us. Now, if you know me as pastor at all, you will know I love to explain to you the doctrine of the Lord loves us too much to leave us by ourselves. I love telling you that the Lord is coming after you and he wants to gather you. Why does he come after you? It's because he loves you, not to judge you, but to hold you and love you and bring you to a place of joy and blessing. After all, Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the perfect shepherd, so he takes care of his sheep, so he comes after the one to gather them, to love them. So I love teaching you this aspect of the character of our God. Well, now we have a whole series on this subject. One word to describe that, for me anyways, it's Yahoo, all right? Now the Lord's coming after us. Why is he coming after us? Because he wants to love us, and he wants to love us, listen, that he might use us. But he pursues us. The Lord is the one who pursues. And the theme of Jonah is the Lord pursuing Jonah, but also the Lord pursuing the lost. two grand themes we find through the book of Jonah. The one is the sovereignty of God. I love the sovereignty of God. It is glorious. It brings us security. We have the confidence in we're not in charge. Thank goodness. He's in charge. And throughout Jonah, the sovereignty of God over the nations, the sovereignty of God over creation, getting a fish to go and swallow Jonah, the sovereignty of God over Jonah's life himself. The sovereignty of God is everywhere throughout this book, but also under the sovereignty of God, because people say, well, God is sovereign, then what are we? Are we robots? Under the sovereignty of God, it's just so beautiful, is also God's heart for, ready, evangelism. It's another massive theme. Jonah is like a mini course in evangelism. And so God is sovereign, but in his sovereignty, we see his heart for the nations. We see his heart to use Jonah to go preach the gospel to the nation of Assyria and the city specifically of Nineveh. So God is sovereign, yet his evangelistic desire to see more and more of the lost found in him. God has such a heart for his own glory. God has a heart for his glory through evangelism. So God is calling. God is pursuing. God is sending. And right off the bat, we see today in this book of Jonah, the theme of Jonah really running from God, which is our sermon title for today. Some of you are here today and you are running from God. And if you are running from God, I feel sorry for you. Do you know why? Because you don't stand a chance. And you say, what do you mean, Robbie? Well, if you're running from God, listen, God's going to catch you. And why? Because he's faster than you. And so he's going to catch you. Why does he catch you? Because he wants to love you. He wants to love you. And he loves you too much to let you go. So if you're running from God today, again, listen, you don't stand a chance, all right? Hey, you can run, but you can't hide. You can't hide from the Lord, and Jonah's gonna find that out firsthand, and that's a big theme I wanna speak to today. If you're here today and you are running from God, listen, this is the wrong place to be if you're trying to run from God, all right? And you might wanna run out of here but halfway through this message, but listen, why does he do that? Why does he reach out to you? Because he loves you too much to let you go. And what a beautiful, beautiful understanding of the book of Jonah and all that we get to see right now. Let me just ask the Lord to help us in this time. Father, do help us, please. Please help us. Speak to us, Lord. Encourage us. I can just sense among your people even now, there's an expectancy and a belief that you will speak to them. May your word be so powerful. May your love be so strong. Lord, I just think all of us in some form or another have been running from God. At one point, Lord, you chased us down and saved us. You redeemed us by the love of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ. That alone is awesome. And right now, Lord, you are chasing down maybe a specific few in all of us in some way too, calling us, asking us to believe your path is the great path of joy and blessing. Thank you for your patience with us. Isn't that so true, huh, church? That we, in our rebellious state, in our prone to wander nature, in our sinfulness, God does not give up on us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. You don't reject us because of our sin, but you invite us to grace and love and forgiveness, all because of Jesus. That is amazing. And all of us deserve death, but you offer us life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Just even as I say these words, my love for you even grows more. So undeserving, yet you're so gracious. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, church. All right, Jonah 1, verse 1. I want to read the whole chapter, first chapter, but we're going to look at just a few verses for our message today. But I want to read the whole chapter. Why? Because it's just great. It's just good stuff. So Jonah 1, 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up against me. So as I always say, live in the text, live in the text, live in the text. Such a great chapter. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord, notice, but Jonah, verse 3. Now notice, but the Lord in verse 4. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down to the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, what do you mean, you sleeper? That's great. Arise, call it to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Amazing. Then they said to him, tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And what people are you? And he said to them, Jonah did, I'm a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven. He probably regrets saying this, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, what is this you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. Why? Because he told them. That's amazing. Hey, what's up? What's your name? Jonah, what are you doing? Fleeing from God. That's just great. Verse 11. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. Unreal. For I know it's because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Notice this, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great sovereignty, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. The word of the Lord, loved ones, thanks be to God. Now, as we enter into the book of Jonah, I want to give a little bit of an introduction so we get some foundation that we're moving forward together with understanding and a little bit of teaching time that will be helpful for us as we proceed. First of all, the book of Jonah is called again a minor prophet. It is one of the minor prophets, not because it's any less important, simply because it's shorter in length. In the Old Testament and New Testament, three main sections in the Old Testament, law, prophets, and writings. And within the prophets we see here, there are major prophets, and then there are minor prophets. And so these ones are relatively shorter and often significantly shorter than the major prophets, which are much longer. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. So Jonah is one of the minor prophets, when it's in larger section of prophets in the Old Testament. Of course, the law, the history, the books of poetry and wisdom, but we're entering into these right now. Again, Jonah being a minor prophet. That's why when you, like Obadiah, it's like one page or two pages. Flip over and there's Jonah and there it is. And that's also 2.5 pages as well. It's giving us some understanding. As we also come to Jonah in this series, let's be crystal clear about this. The book of Jonah is not about a whale, all right? The book of Jonah is not about a great fish. The whale gets all the press. That's not what it's about. The whale, it's not even called a whale in the text, it's called a great fish. The great fish is mentioned 4 times. The book of Jonah is not about the great fish. The book of Jonah is not about the great city, Nineveh, either. Nineveh is mentioned 9 times. The book of Jonah is ultimately not about Jonah. He's mentioned 18 times. The book of Jonah, loved ones, is about the great God. It's about the awesome sovereign nature and the heart of God for his people, the one who is ruler over all things. God is mentioned 38 times in the book of Jonah. Let's be very clear again. This is all about God. The book of Jonah is about God. Now again, as we come to Jonah, a lot of people want to categorize Jonah as a parable. They don't believe the events in the book, so they approach it with cynicism, and here are some of the reasons that people give. Well, it has to be a parable because I can't believe in the miraculous storm. I can't believe about the episode of the great fish. I can't believe how quickly Nineveh repents. I can't believe how the vine grows up within seemingly moments within chapter 4. And because of these things, it can't be historical. It must be a parable. But the evidence that Jonah is not like a parable is the following. It's simply too long and too detailed to be a parable. The characters within it are too lifelike. It involves real people and real cities with real names. Parables don't do that. The book of Jonah is also set in a specific time of history, as we will find out too. But by far, the most compelling reason that we know that Jonah is not a parable, but historical, actual facts of what took place is Jesus himself and four times in the Gospels referred back to Jonah as historical fact. Isn't it interesting? The two most disputed stories in the Bible are Noah and the ark, Jonah and the fish, the great fish or the whale. And the two events that Jesus made sure he looked back on as factual history, Noah and Jonah. Gives us confidence that as we approach this right now, Jesus seemed to believe all these things happened and he treated them as historical fact. And you know what happens within this too? All the disbelieving in the validity of the events of Jonah, the scoffing that goes on. What I really believe is this: we need to understand clearly everything begins with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you understand that God has raised his son from the dead, when you know that the greatest miracle, that Jesus died, but on the third day was rose again, when you understand Jesus was raised from the dead, everything else seemingly becomes a no-brainer that God can do all things. Here's what's even better about that. When you know that by Jesus' resurrection, you have been raised from the dead, you know you have gone from death to life, and the faith that floods your soul and floods your heart, I don't think it takes a lot for you to say, man, if I can be raised from the dead, I think God can get a fish to go swallow Jonah and spit him on a beach a couple days later, all right? When we argue, I'm all for apologetics, but the problem with apologetics or the difficulty is it's hard to argue someone into the faith. Ultimately, faith at some point must take place. The faith to understand Jesus died for my sins. I am saved in him. He has raised me from the dead. And the faith that floods me now, I look upon this book as God wrote it, and I believe that God can do all things. All that to say, everything begins with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why I love when you're sharing the gospel, share the gospel. It's the gospel which is the power of God for salvation. When someone comes to faith in Christ, everything falls in place from there. So, not against apologetics. I'm just saying. I mean, in fact, I'm really supportive of that in many different spheres. But the gospel is what ultimately saves us in Jesus Christ. So a little bit of introduction, a little bit of foundation for us. Let's now dive into this amazing little book. And we're going to be looking at the first three verses today of Jonah 1. And here's the first point I want you to notice. It's this: God's word comes, I must listen. When God's word comes, I must listen. Verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying. So let's stop there. The word of the Lord comes to the prophet of the Lord, whose name is Jonah. And the reason we know that Jonah was a servant of God and a prophet of God is because it says that in 2 Kings 14, verse 25. Okay, this is the context of who Jonah was outside of the book of Jonah. He restored the border of Israel from Lebo Hamath as far as the Sea of the Arabah, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke. So here's what we know about Jonah. He spoke by his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, there's no question, the prophet who was from Gath-Hepher. Jonah here, the servant of God and the prophet of God as well. So Jonah, servant, prophet, called what? Called then to advance the kingdom of God. Jonah was set apart for God's service. And based on the context of 2 Kings 14, we know then that Jonah's immediate predecessors, this is cool, were Elijah and Elisha. He must have been well known about these men, if not in some way, have learned from them either directly or indirectly. So as we take hold of the context of Jonah, let's understand this. He was appointed with great purpose, set apart as God's servant. He had the immense privilege of being God's prophet. He had the example of incredible men that went before him in the face of serious opposition. Jonah was God's mouthpiece, God's voice. He was the deliverer of God's word. So the question became this then: when God's word came to the servant Jonah, the prophet of God Jonah, the question is, would he listen? And you would say, well, of course he would listen, right? Of course he would listen, right? Well, what we find out, that depends on what God asked him to do. This takes us to point number two. It's this: God's word is clear. So God's word comes, but now God's word is clear. I must go. So look at verse 2. God said, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." Now, I think it's a fair guess to assume that Jonah was expecting from God at some point, "Arise." He's like, "I'm good with that. Arise, no problem. Arise." And then he was expecting, I think it's fair to guess too, at some point he's like, "Hear God say arise," and then God said, "Go." And he's like, "Okay, I like arise. I like go. That's all that I've been set apart to rise up and to go with God's message." But the part that Jonah would have shuddered at, the part that he obviously was not good with, was when God mentioned the word Nineveh. And at that moment, Jonah was not good with what God was asking him to do. Now, why is Nineveh such a big deal to Jonah? Well, first of all, it was the capital city of the enemy nation of Israel within Assyria. Nineveh was a very large and great city. It was full of cruel and harsh people. It was a dominating empire full of splendor and glamour. It was a city, again, of great wickedness and evil, it says in verse 2. Nineveh was located on the edge of what is now Mosul, Iraq, 40 miles east of Syria. And so Jonah's in Israel, and he's being called to go to Nineveh, okay? And Jonah kind of lived northern part of Israel, as we read from 2 Kings 14, which would be very close at times to the nation of Syria. He might be even more aware of the things he despised about this nation, maybe even than some other Israelites. But Nineveh was the place that Jonah was called to go to preach to. Again, the city of his enemy. And what we find out with Jonah here, and before we judge him too harshly, the key is to always, and we're going to look at our own hearts here in a second, but before Jonah wanted Nineveh to repent, he would rather see them destroyed. He would, because of whatever situation he was in, because of his lack of grace of his own life too. But he didn't want them to ultimately be saved. He wanted them to be destroyed. This is where the personal patriotism of Jonah got in the way of his theology. Jonah either forgot or ignored this fact, that God's will, listen, loved ones, God's will is always an expression of God's love. Every time. God's will is always an expression of God's love. But in this case, Jonah didn't want God's love to go forth. He didn't. He wanted to hoard it within himself and his own people. So God's word comes. God's word for Jonah is crystal clear. So now what will God's servant do? Obey, right? Wrong. Number three, point three, God's servant flees. I must learn. Not learn to flee. In this case, I must learn what not to do. Look at verse 3 now. So the word of God comes, the word of God is clear. It says, But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare, went on board to go with him to Tarshish. It's like the Bible really wants us to know he's going to Tarshish, huh? Three times right there. It was away, the Bible also wants us to know twice, away from the presence of the Lord. Notice the very first word in verse 3. It's the word but. Now, that's never a good word following a command from God, all right? It's a very bad, God commands this and the next word is but, and someone else does that, you know? Ever kind of tell your kids to do something and say, "Did I need you this?" And the first word is but. But I don't want to know. That's never a good sign. And here is Jonah, and God says, "Arise and go to Nineveh." And he's like, but it says, "But the Lord," or "But Jonah." But Jonah rose to flee. Now, we don't know for sure where Tarshish was. We have a good idea, but notice this. The Lord commanded Jonah to arise and go northeast. But Jonah rose and fled southwest. All right? So God says, "I need you to go northeast," and Jonah, essentially, he goes and flees southwest again. So where is Tarshish? Well, we suspect, and all the scholars agree on this, it was now modern-day Spain, okay? Modern-day Spain. Now, think for a second, if you have any sense of Bible geography, any kind of sense of geography at all right, and you know Jonah's world and the world that he lived in, okay? Is there a place, God says go to Nineveh, is there a place in Jonah's known world that could be farther from the destination that God has asked him to go other than modern day Spain, Tarshish, through the Straits of Gibraltar? Is there any place? Because if he goes any further, he's with us in Canada. You know what I'm saying? All right? But this is where he is headed. So Jonah, Nineveh, Tarshish heading out this way. Okay, that gives us some context. You're going in the wrong direction, Jonah. What's up with that? How long would that take? In the 700 BC. How much would that cost? What's up with me? It tells you so much about where Jonah's heart is or isn't. But here's the real kicker in verse 3. Look at verse 3. Tarshish wasn't the real destination. What was the real destination? To flee from the presence of the Lord. Right now we say, but why? Why the all-out effort to run from the will of God? Was it because Jonah was afraid of the Ninevites? Was it because he was worried about being killed or imprisoned? They were harsh and brutal people. Maybe Jonah thought the mission was too hard. God, it's too impossible. It'll never work. It's just not going to happen. Were those the reasons that Jonah gave for not going? Well, here's the thing. Nowhere in the book of Jonah do we see any evidence that Jonah was afraid, worried about being killed, or thought the mission was too hard. What we do have in the book of Jonah is the real reason why Jonah would not go to Nineveh. Turn to chapter 4, turn one page over, chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Here's the reason Jonah would not go. So when God granted repentance to the Ninevites at the end of chapter 3, notice what it says in verse 4, 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was angry at what? At the love of God. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew, here's why. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. That is the reason Jonah fled. The one thing I appreciate about Jonah here is that at least he didn't lie. He got it all out in the open. He was so mad. Listen, he was so mad at what? At God's love. Jonah wasn't afraid that he would get killed. Jonah was afraid that the Ninevites would get saved. He didn't want them to get saved. He wanted them dead. And again, maybe he was so aware of the sin within that nation. Maybe he was personally aware of the hurt and the pain that they caused. But see what's happening here. This is a whole message in itself. But notice how Jonah resented the grace of God to others. Do you ever do that? Do I ever do that? He resented God's grace going from him elsewhere. Do we ever do that? Notice how self-righteous Jonah was. I want God's grace. I don't want you to have God's grace. That's pretty wicked. Notice here too. Notice Jonah was really acting like a New Testament Pharisee. Notice this also. Jonah forgot the reality of his own soul. Who is Jonah to claim the grace of God for himself when he was just as wicked as anyone else, but to withhold it from other people? It's a sign that Jonah did not understand the grace of God at all. It's a sign he did not understand God's love. It's a sign he had a ton of self within him, but not a lot of love from within him. You know, I find it fascinating as we preach this in this year and this time in our world. I find it fascinating. The exact location of Nineveh is currently the exact region of ISIS. Let me ask you this question. Like Nineveh, just outside Mosul, just where ISIS is concentrated right now. How are you praying for ISIS? Are you praying God kill them? Are you praying God save them?
So happy to have you listening again today at Live in the Light. Each day, we strive to share faithful and passionate preaching of God's Word to strengthen His people and His church. If you want to hear more from Pastor Robbie, you can find past series and messages at our website, liveinthelight.ca, or on our podcasts available on Apple, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. Hope you'll join us again next time on Live in the Light.